Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, normally I would throw something snarky in here or whatever, but the Los Angeles Lakers are NBA champions.
Holy shit. Yes, they are. This is the Locked On Champions podcast now. Like they are not, it's not Locked On Lakers. Like you like that. That's your pod title right there, Locked On Championship or something like that. Because yeah, these are your, we believe, underdog, plucky Lakers picked against in every series by the NBA Twitter conglomerati. Maybe not as much in the finals, but definitely in every round before that, it was fashionable to pick against them. And they are here. They are here. They are standing. They won a title. In your face, losers.
I don't even want to waste energy on people who picked against the Lakers at any round of all of this. That's not something I'm interested in doing. I just want to enjoy this thing. I have had quite a bit of wine. I have smoked a cigar. I have called my folks. I have recorded.
LeBron, is that you?
Yeah. I've recorded two podcasts already. I am now recording this thing with the best friend that I will ever make in this entire industry. The person who started this podcast with me way back in the day, 5 years ago, in what is the most embarrassing episode of content that you and I will ever produce.
The night is young, Anthony. The night is young.
Harrison, this is actually kind of where I wanted to start it. And I know it's kind of self-centered. I understand that there are more people involved here than just you and me, but as somebody who helped build this thing to where it is right now, I'm interested in where your head has been at all night, like what this thing means to you personally.
Yeah, you know, man, it's interesting because like I tweeted about this a couple weeks ago. I've been a little more sentimental on the timeline than normal, like the last couple weeks, like especially. But like it's kind of crazy because I was thinking about when they made the finals. I was thinking about where I was the last time that happened. And it was like I was going through worst breakup of my life. I was in a college major. I was realizing I hated, like I didn't know what I wanted to do. Like, and the Lakers, they really helped me through it. Like it gave me something to focus on, you know, three or four nights a week, like, you know, during the time in between that, reading stories, keeping up on what was going on, like reading every article I could find, all that stuff. Like, and, you know, to go from that to now, you know, we're in another like difficult year, 2020, in a lot of different ways. I'm, you know, I just married the love of my life. I'm getting to cover this team as my actual job. Like the stuff that I was doing for fun, just to pay attention to them, I get to like, is a requirement of my current, like, yeah, you know, job, which is amazing. And like, it, you know, this season was so fun. And I know that I've talked in the past about like my weird journey from like, you know, being super fan to kind of like having the fandom be dead a little bit, like honestly going through this run and like this team just being so lovable. Like I think it real, and going through it with my wife who was watching her first like championship run, like it reignited the fandom a little bit for me. And like I just kind of, you know, I think this team's always gonna have a special place in my heart for that. Like you know, they were like, it was unlike any other Lakers team that we've watched before in terms of like, this is the best defensive Lakers team ever. I think we can say that at this point. And like just the way that they won, the grittiness with which they did it, how hard they played together. They weren't your like top, you know, like top loaded team with stars that just kind of like got by on just the sheer strength of that. Like everyone bought in and everyone was a part of it because of how they played on the defensive end. And, you know, like it was just a lot of fun to watch. I know I'm just rambling now, but like it was like this was incredible. You know, honestly, well, like
you talk about buy-in, right? And again, like I don't want to make this thing, this whole Lakers championship about us, but like the amount of buy-in it took to turn Locked On Lakers to take it from 36, like when I last checked, when I went back through my old YouTube channel or whatever.
Stop giving people clues on where to find this thing.
Well, when I went through it and I found that the first video that we put together had 36 total views, and then to now, you know, average what we're averaging right now, and the amount of buy-in that it took, you know, from those days between you and me, between you talking me into like sticking this thing out, and me like sticking out, talking to you with that shitty hat on your head, and then the transition from you making, you know, turning your hard work into a full-time job, which was an incredible accomplishment in and of itself. And then, you know, Pete and I taking over from that point on, you know, like just like everything that it took to kind of reach this point. And by the way, like this also, like this is actually kind of where I wanted to, push this thing forward. It feels like the beginning of something like this, that's what, on top of this championship, which we're going to contextualize here in segment two, but this also kind of sort of feels like the beginning of something here between the LeBron and AD era of this Los Angeles Lakers. I don't need conglomerate, like this monster that the Lakers are. This is now the next era of it.
Yeah, this is the return and rebirth and remixing of Lakers exceptionalism. Like, it's in a new way. It looks different. It's different than any title team that's come before it. But yeah, you're right. Like, this is not, like, when you watch those teams with Kobe and Powell, for example, like, that felt like the end, like, you were towards the end of something, but you were closer to that than the beginning. Like, all of those guys were aging. Like, Anthony Davis is only 28. And like the Lakers are going to have, you know, we don't need to talk about free agency down the road, whatever. This does feel like the start of something, though, just with the culture that they have built in 1 year, some of which is probably, you know, around LeBron a little bit.
But literally the beginning of the Rob Pelinka era. Like, this is it.
And look, first of all, I got to go back for a second because you slandered my hat, and the Lakers have won a title every single year since I started wearing this hat at the beginning of the season. Last year was only partial, so my magic didn't work. You know, I only picked it up after the groin tear, I believe, or maybe only a little bit before it. So it didn't have time to work its magic, but I've been in the podcast fedora from preseason on, and you know, I just want my sacrifice to be appreciated as well, and I won't say no to a championship ring.
Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I want to build on the idea of like this thing moving forward. I want to talk about this specific championship and what it means, because I don't think there's any possible way that we could talk about this thing without mentioning everything that this organization, the city, the NBA in general, the world in general has gone through. So sit tight. We'll come back and I'm going to try to sum up what the hell this season was. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we brush it off or blame ourselves or say things like, I lost my mojo, or avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and again, discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today and connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. All right, so Harrison, I might need you to take over for me at some point if I start getting too choked up. But
okay,
I just need it bears repeating what everybody in this entire world has gone through, and specifically Laker fans have gone through. So The beginning of this year, the Lakers trade for Anthony Davis. And this is right after the Lakers acquire LeBron James and fall on their face.
Yeah.
Like, embarrassingly fall on their face. Most embarrassing moment in the history of the Los Angeles Lakers was Magic Johnson just randomly saying, "Nah, I'm out. I want to tweet. I'm focused on tweeting." And so the Lakers go from that. They head into the offseason with a whole bunch of people, myself included, wondering, all right, are they going to try to go
leading the pack on it? Don't discredit yourself. You were, I think, the chief hater, you know, like, and we got to give you credit too. Rob Pelinka, you know, he talked about the haters a little bit, not in those words during his press conference tonight.
Nah, they won the championship.
I'm just saying, don't undersell your role in there. You don't get to say there were many people that were criticizing.
Look, man, I was trying to get my Chris Mannix on.
Yeah, and you were leading the mob to Staples Center with your pitchfork and torch lit.
There was an episode of this very show called "Sell the Team."
Yeah,
when they didn't hire Tyronn Lue and they hired Frank Vogel instead. But anywho, oops. I want to go back before that. I wanted to go before that.
Okay,
you can laugh, but like I want to go back before that, and I want to say, you know, I was on board because I had heard some whispers that like Bob Myers might potentially be interested in this, that the Lakers could like trade a couple picks for Masai Ujiri, that like they could do all these things. They could go out. I know that Sam Presti, like there was some interest, like according to some of the people that I was listening to, that like Sam Presti could be potentially interested in this. And the Lakers
instead they got NBA champion Rob Pelinka. So
and yeah, right. Well, so the Lakers go out and you know, they sit tight, they sit this thing out, and they wanted to see what Rob Pelinka had to offer. And you know, for me personally, I was like, man, you only have so much of a window with LeBron James. And you want to optimize it. And I didn't think that the gamble of let's find out who Rob Pelinka was in this role was worth, you know, potentially risking away LeBron James. And to Rob's credit, he did whatever it took to get Anthony Davis in house. And that set the tone for what this team's identity was going to be. And they built the identity around it. And to me, like when I look back on this season, the thing I'm always going to remember is, you know what, at the end of the day, if you can get two of the NBA's top five players, that's all that fucking matters, man. Let's not overthink this stuff. And that's where I will cop to being just hilariously wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean, you were hilariously wrong. And like, it's not just that part of it. Like they went through all the stuff in China, like Kuz, when he was talking about it tonight, said they didn't know if they were going to make it out of there, which like, you know, I know it sounds dramatic now, but like, if you're there and all of that's going on and it's like an authoritarian government, I guess I can't go to China ever again now. And like all that stuff, like it just gives you a window into their mindset of how scary it was for them on some level, especially with their families there. So they go through that, they get home, you know, they start the season, they lose against the Clippers. That sucks. Like, and then they go and they win like a bunch of games, but all of a sudden it's like, oh no, it doesn't matter because I haven't beat contenders yet. Like what contenders have they beaten? And then, you know, like they go out and they actually beat some contender and then Kobe dies and, you know, everyone is sad. It hits the organization really hard.
I want to talk about that here in a bit.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought that you had trailed off and you needed me to finish it for.
No. I was just talking about like the Pelinka stuff, especially like specifically how this was just. You know, for those, Pete has actually put this very well on the show where he was like, the thing we didn't take, or the thing that we kind of took for granted was how Kobe trusted Pelinka with his entire career. And this idea that Pelinka was lazy in any way, shape, or form was probably too much of an extension of what we thought of Magic Johnson.
No, and that's not
Pete's words, because I don't want to put where.
Yeah,
for me, I'm saying like we looked at Rob Pelinka and I was like, he was hired via nepotism. And I thought he was kind of the negative aspect of nepotism that we have seen, by the way, with other hires in Lakers history. But I think,
but you're right. People discounted the workaholic weirdo-ness that he would bring to the table that worked so well for him when he was with Kobe.
People meaning me.
Yeah, people meaning you, especially you.
Yeah.
And like
or this you, you know. You
no, I, honestly, I feel like I was more on the side of giving Pelinka credit. We could go back and check the tape. I'm pretty sure that I was a lot more fair on Pelinka than you were. But anyway, like he was talking tonight about like this is a man who compares having a backup plan in free agency, which they did, you know, clearly when Kawhi decided to pass, they had a flurry of signings basically all lined up. And like he compared it to that he learned greatness from Kobe Bryant and he saw how he would work on his fadeaway and kill the league with that 1 year and then be like, okay, well, they're going to try and take away my fadeaway. So I got to have a counter. And he mm-hmm. described that as his version of a GM counter. And like,
yeah.
That is the weirdest thing of analogy I've ever heard anyone make, but it's very Pelinka. It's very Kobe, honestly, a man who compared learning his fadeaway jumper to watching a cheetah use its tail to hunt. And like, and I think also sharks hunting on Shark Week. But anyway, like, you know, these guys are weirdos, but they're like workaholic weirdos. And like, they are not going to leave any stones unturned. And like, you know, for better or worse, they're going to put the work in. And whether that's like, you know, working with Clutch to get Anthony Davis there, which the rest of the league can cry about now, but it like, you know, look, they could have tried it. Or like it's, you know, like allegedly tampering their asses off or, you know, whatever it may be behind the scenes. It's like doing a bunch of scouting. It's having like a million different, like calling a bunch of different players to have them ready to sign as soon as Kawhi says no and getting them to wait. Like, Pelinka put the hours in to build this team, and he built a cohesive team with a cohesive identity that fit its two stars and that all got along. And he does deserve a ton of credit for that. I know everybody wants to dismiss everything that he did, but like the job of working with two stars like that and like a, you know, a giant like agency like Clutch and like, with as much power and moving and shaking ability as they have, like that's not easy. And it's also not easy to build the chemistry that this team had and toe the line of making those decisions while also deferring to LeBron and AD at times.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think the next, you know, few days of shows is going to be spent kind of talking about the way that the Lakers threaded that needle. I really just want to spend the next, I don't even know how long the show is going to go. How long do you have?
I have as long as you need. We're celebrating, I
want to talk. I do really want to talk about the year, the literal year that has been this Lakers season and the culmination of what it's turned out to be here in a bit.
Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your first order, your second order, your third order, and however many orders you or your friends that you tell about this great product get to benefit from. They have great flavors, everything from caramel brownie. My personal favorite name is Cherry Barcia. The cookies and cream one is fantastic. And then they have the regular, you know, salted caramel is my original favorite flavor. And it's great no matter what you might be looking for. Are you looking to supplement a meal while you're trying to cut weight? Are you looking to have a little bit of extra protein to add to a meal if you're trying to gain weight? Are you trying to maintain weight by, you know, just having a nice healthy snack? It's going to be great for you. It's going to have you covered. So head on over again to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
So the Lakers go through the stuff that you and I just talked about in the last segment. We analyzed where it wound up, right? And I still think there's value in kind of looking at, holy crap, this is where they once were. So they go from that. And they acquire Anthony Davis and they make the acquisitions on the peripheries that they make. And they, for the most part in the regular season, take care of business, quite frankly. You know, they look when they wanted to be, as evidenced by this game that they finished the NBA Finals on. They look pretty dominating when they absolutely wanted to be. But
Anthony, this team lost. You want to know how many times they lost multiple games in a row this season before the bubble?
Is it like twice?
It's twice. They lost they lost multiple games in a row twice this season. That's before crazy. The bubble, because the bubble, they didn't really have anything to play for during the regular season.
Right.
End of it. And then in the playoffs, they literally never lost back-to-back games.
Right.
Like, this is a team that came to play almost every single night. And when they didn't, they almost always had a counterpunch the next time.
Right. So they're a very well put together team. It looks like this team has a significant amount of upside. They beat the Clippers, they beat the Bucks, and then the season ends. And even before then, Kobe Bryant like literally falls out of the sky, you know, and this is where. I've always been kind of uncomfortable with the whole numerology and the looking back on Kobe and that entire situation. It's always kind of made me iffy on the whole thing, because like what a bunch of fans thought about this guy, to me, like, you know, fanning that thing up, compared to the loss of me being a new father and losing a family, losing a daughter, that just didn't, you know, the whole basketball aspect of that made me really iffy talking about that, like from a fan standpoint of things. And then, you know, hearing, and Harrison, you heard a lot of the same stuff that I was hearing. But hearing some of the stuff coming out of the Lakers organization where they just like couldn't hear from Rob Pelinka for a couple days because his goddaughter had just passed away along with his best friend. Jeannie Buss like couldn't even form a full sentence according to some of the people that I had heard from in the Lakers organization. And you go from all of that and they have to finish that season out. And as they are like just getting their feet underneath them all of again, well, here's this goddamn pandemic. And here the season that was now showing so much promise after the fact is this organization is fighting through all of that. Well, here's your rug pulled out from you all over again. And not just you, obviously, because the entire world has been affected by this in large part because our president is a goddamn asshole. But like you go through all of that and the Lakers are now not punished for winning the most games in the regular season that was, but they definitely aren't.
They weren't rewarded for it.
Yeah. they certainly aren't rewarded for it in any way, shape or form. So they got to go into this bubble all the while thinking of themselves, we were supposed to have home court advantage in this thing. Like the pot of gold at the end of this, of how hard we were fighting for this was supposed to be a few extra playoff games in Staples Center. And nope, that's not how that's going to work out. Instead, they got to go to across the freaking country away from their entire families and try to win basketball games while not just the world is falling around them because of the pandemic, but also because you're dealing with social justice stuff, you know, and everybody out there in that bubble is now dealing with this thing. And so you have all of this stuff going on, and somebody at the end of the day was going to come out on the other end of this as a champion. But I don't know a better way, quite frankly, of honoring not just Kobe, but just Like, I don't know a better way of honoring everything that's going on than, you know what? Yeah, we screwed up in game three. Yeah, we screwed up in game five. But fuck it. We're going to be dominant in game six. We're going to go out there and we're just going to freaking win this thing. And that's really what I took away from this game was just, I'm sorry, everybody. We're sorry, everybody. We screwed up on those last two games, but this is what we can, this is the best we can look like. And this is how we're going to go out. And this is what the lasting image of the Lakers of the 2000 felt like 2001 and 2020 season felt like. But yeah. But this is what the 2020 Lakers are going to look like.
Yeah, no, I think it was fitting. I said this in my story tonight. Like, there was no, there really, if you think about it, there was no other way for this team to go out than by pissing all of us off in like game five. And then like getting, you know, they almost needed like more haters, basically. Like, they needed more people angry at them. And then like, and this is not me saying go and bully, like cyber bully online or whatever. It's just, that's what this team did, is they annoyed all of us.
Yeah.
And then they would come out the next game and they'd be like, yeah, but this is why you have faith. And like, there was no more fitting way for them to end the season than by flipping the switch on and just being like, telling Miami basically like, oh, like, you thought you had discovered something. That's cute. And then just making them look like a junior varsity team playing against a high school, against the varsity roster. And with like some of the most dominant defense I think we've ever seen in the finals and probably ever from like any Lakers team.
They
were incredible tonight. They were all over the place. And I know the Heat were fatigued. I know that like there's a certain level of like the Lakers, you know, they started to heat up shooting and all of that. But that first half was some of the best basketball I've ever seen a team play, especially defensively. It was just like, it was incredible. They were up by 8 at the end of the first quarter. And I was like, all right, like, well, I mean, they're probably going to like let the Heat back into it a little bit or like whatever. Like, no, they stomped on their necks and they like went and like increased the lead by 20 points to 28 at the half, the second biggest halftime lead in NBA Finals history. Like, I mean, we just watched basketball nirvana tonight, basically. Like, that's what perfect basketball, at least on defense, looks like. And it was an incredible way to end their season and like make the entire second half the celebration that I think all Lakers fans have been waiting for a decade.
Yeah, I mean, they gave up 36 points in the first half.
Like, that's just hilarious.
To put that in context, in garbage time in the fourth quarter, they got 35.
That's hilarious. I mean, like, that's just what this team did. They trolled us and then they turned it on. Like, it was just, that was their, like, you know, my, like, they, you know, it just goes back to the thing of like, they just never wanted to lose twice. They would occasionally lose once, but they didn't want to lose twice in a row. And again, I just thought it was a perfect way for them to end the season and win this title. I'm just disappointed we didn't get THT in garbage time and let him become like the youngest player to ever suit up in a finals game.
In a finals finishing game or something like that?
No, like, he would have been literally, because he's younger than Hero, and Hero had set the record in this series. And so if they had subbed THT in at any point, he would have set the new record. But I guess Frank Vogel, for whatever reason, was not focused on that. So,
well, this is the,
fire Frank.
The next column I write is going to be about why they hate Talen Horton-Tucker.
Poor Talen Horton-Tucker is like, right now as we're recording this, like, you're more drunk than he is. Like, he's sitting somewhere with a carton of orange juice. Like, they're probably sitting with, like,
I guarantee you he's
He's sitting, how I imagine this is, they're all at the grill.
Obliterated.
No, THT is off sitting with like Dion Waiters and Jared Dudley's kids at the kid table, like, you know, picking over appetizers or something as his teammates get lit. And, you know, he's just counting. He's like going to call his parents, be like, can you come pick me up? I'm ready to go home.
So I'm interested in this. So there are a few directions I could take this, but I'm interested in this. So the Lakers win this championship. What do you think they're capable of moving forward? Because if you would have told me, all right, LeBron signs a 4-year contract, right?
Yeah.
And then in that first year,
3 years with a 4th-year player option.
Right. So if he doesn't make the playoffs on the first one. If you would have told me after not making the playoffs in the first year of being a Laker that he would win one championship in the next 3 years, would you have put the over under at just the one? Or would you say at the time, after not making the playoffs in that first year, it's just the one, or, you know, that'd be, you'd be lucky to win one?
I think I would have leaned the former, at least if you had told me that when he signed. I think now, if we're talking about like expectations for moving forward, you know, where we currently stand, like obviously I see reasons this team can't repeat next year. Like there are reasons, like other teams will come back and get better and all that stuff. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, we don't really know when the league's going to play, what this roster is going to look like. But I also don't see any reason that this team can't repeat next year. And I see reasons that they cannot do it, and I see reasons that they can do it. And like,
no, honestly, the reasons they can outweigh the reasons they can't.
Sort of, yeah, because like I think that this team can be better than they were this year next year, honestly. I don't want to go full offseason preview, but they're going to have the full mid-level exception to work with. They're going to have some cap space to work with. They're going to have tradable contracts. Like, this team could be better next year than it was this year. It could also be worse, like if they bring back a lot of the same guys and guys get age. Yeah, like, and you know, other teams will, like the Warriors are going to be back. They're going to be better next year. Like, the Clippers are probably going to improve, just, you know, from going through what they went through this year. Like, the Bucks are probably going to make some changes, maybe trade for Chris Paul or something. Like, there'll be other teams that can compete with them. Maybe even the Heat get better and find some ways to improve. Mm-hmm. But, and you know, among other teams, but like this Lakers team could also get better depending on how free agency shakes out and depending on how guys come back next year. You know, does Kuz eventually start to show a little bit more growth in his second year in this situation or role? Like, you know, there's a lot of different things that could play out, but I think that it's very possible that this team could repeat next year. I know everyone says that on title night, except for like Raptors fans probably, but like,
I would make them the betting favorites.
They'll certainly be that. They were the betting favorites all year. You know, we joke about the
weekly stuff. Them as the betting favorites. I think the last thing I want to get out of here on here is regarding Danny Green and regarding Kyle Kuzma and regarding any other Lakers fan or Lakers player who caught the ire of. Like, it's one thing if you're writing in like kind of phony petitions asking for them not to get their rings. Like, that's just,
it's, I mean, that's still really lame. Like,
I know it's lame, but it's more stupid than anything, right? Yeah. Like, it's aimless, it's stupid, it's it's fruitless is what it is. But as somebody, and I'm sure you've caught this too, as somebody who has been told by people online to kill himself, or who has seen his wife, Jen has received all kinds of shitty messages about me. At one point, there was a petition to get Jen fired from her place of employment just because people thought that would make it so that I would not be able to continue doing what I'm doing. Harrison, you have had to have a conversation with Mia, right, over this stuff too. And, you know, as we all get to enjoy what tonight is, and as we all get to kind of look back on this year with the rosy sunglasses that a championship produces, I really do hope that there are a lot of you out there who takes a look in the mirror and says, the sports just aren't that.
And just like, just, you know, think about how happy you are right now that they won. And like, just you know, I know obviously we're not going to feel like we won a title every day. That's not a realistic expectation or anything like that. But like, just take this feeling and bottle it up a little bit and like think about, you know, wouldn't you rather make those guys feel like that and like kind of build them up versus tearing them down? Like, it's one thing, like, you know, I know this is going to, a lot of you are going to be like, but Anthony, you made fun. Like, Anthony never called to like have Rondo killed or anything like Anthony called for Rondo to be cut, which, you know, we can have a separate discussion about like that and, you know, how hilariously wrong you've been proven at some point. But like, you know, you never went after guys personally for like, you never personally attacked them or like said anything about like their character essentially. And, you know, I think that that's what we need to take away from this is like, you know, the discourse can be better. And like, we can all probably be happier if we aren't sitting around and not that I was doing this, but like, you're going to be happier if you think more about how you can build people up versus trying to tear them down and threaten them and getting really angry. Like, you can be mad about the game going wrong, but like, there's just no reason to do anything like that. And honestly, like, if you're the type of person that's doing stuff like that, like, I'm probably not going to change your mind with this, but I think that we all need to be better about policing it and the stuff like, oh, let's bully KCP into playing better. Like, that, they didn't see your tweets and be like, oh yeah, I guess I better play well, you know, like they want to do that to like for their own personal success, for their own personal pride, their own personal competitiveness. Like, you did not bully anyone into playing better. And if you think you did, like, I mean, I would honestly encourage you to seek help.
Yep. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked
On. I don't want to end on that. What was your favorite memory of this season?
My favorite memory.
We got to send people out on a light note, man.
All right. I got two more topics to cover then, if you're all okay. Right with it. I just don't know how much time I have with you. It's late. It's 12:45 my time.
No, I mean, you're definitely imposing, but I wasn't going to allow the listeners to go out like I'm that old. And be like, oh man, Harrison's such
saying.
A downer.
I'm really, really old. Like I have to wake up in like 6 hours to raise my daughter.
Sounds like a you problem.
All right, fine. Let's just keep this thing going. All right. So my favorite moment of this Lakers season, the Lakers beating the Clippers and the Milwaukee Bucks back-to-back. Like that's when I thought to myself, holy crap, this team could win a championship. And then when they went on to beat the Rockets the way that they did, I went from should. They should win the NBA championship. No matter what, if the Clippers, you know, won their series and the Lakers saw the Clippers, didn't matter. I thought the Lakers were better than the Clippers at that point. If the Bucks got through the then Miami Heat, didn't matter. I thought the Lakers were going to get through that team too. So the combination of those kind of few moments there where you realized what this team was really capable of and then seeing them kind of commit to bringing that to fruition as often as they possibly could. That was to me an awesome kind of moment. You?
For me, it was probably the win. I mean, this is recency bias. I'm sure there were other moments. Like, I'm like, my favorite regular season game is still that win against the Mavericks where Danny Green hit that shot to send them to overtime. And,
oh man,
you know,
the way
LeBron
that
and
Kirk
AD just
whined about like Dwight yanking on.
Yeah, Tenzo, exactly. Yeah. Which was a hilariously illegal screen that the last 2 minutes of report, yeah, of course, like,
yeah,
called out
the
next day.
It's so much fun making Kirk,
yeah,
angry.
No, and then like Mavs fans were annoyed, but like that game was really fun. Honestly, the regular season game against Miami was really fun. The first one, I believe, in Miami. But my favorite recent moment probably was during the first round against the Blazers, and it was game four, because that series went five, right? Yeah, it was game four, and like midway through the second quarter, you could see the Blazers giving up, and I was kind of like, it was that, I maybe misremember it. It might've been end of game three, like later in game four, whatever. But like, I just remember seeing the Blazers kind of just stop trying to run like good offense and not really playing as hard on defense. Like they just knew that they were beat at that point. Done. And I was like, this is supposed to be like, I, you know, we
the
make
best
fun
AT
of it,
ever.
It Yeah, it was best eight seed in NBA history. Upset alert. They're really going to push the Lakers. And like the Lakers had like taken away their will to win by the end of game four. And mm-hmm. that was when I realized I had the similar moment that you were just talking about of like, not just will to should, it was like, or not just like could to should, mm-hmm. it was like, it was could to will. Like at that point, I was like, I mean, that was an NBA team that was good enough to make the playoffs and they just gave up. And then it was like, once the Houston series started and the Lakers came back with their counterpunch in game two, like it was same thing by game four, the Rockets knew they were out of it. And like, it's rare that we see a team deliver those types of ass kickings, like to the point where not just they're beating the opponent thoroughly, but where the opponent has given up. And mm-hmm. we saw it. We didn't really see it from the Nuggets. The Nuggets were never really gave in until maybe like the second half of game five, like kind of started to fold a little bit. But the Heat, you know, I think in the second half tonight, obviously knew it was over, but like had fought for the whole series. But, you know, those first two rounds were just like some of the most dominant, you know, playoff basketball, I think, that I've ever seen, or that I can recall watching closely.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And actually that winds up being a pretty good segue to kind of my sign off here is that, you know, just in terms of playoff performances, this is one of the most dominant teams in the history of the NBA.
It is.
And when you consider the fact that this is a season, this is the longest season in the history of the sport. When you consider the fact that this organization has gone through all of the things that this organization has gone through, when you consider the fact that the supporting cast of characters, a lot of whom have been doubted by yours truly, right? Rajon Rondo, I wasn't particularly thrilled about what his role might be. Dwight Howard,
it was basically like all the guys that you hated on were like their most valuable playoff performers. Did you go after KCP too?
At some point I probably did.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Figured it out. All we need is for Anthony to criticize a player and they magically become gold during the playoffs.
This is basically where we're at. And so, you know, kind of what I'm looking at here is a Lakers team that overcame it's one thing when you are doubted by kind of the outsiders, right? The people who, also, by the way, as you and I talk about a lot, the people who benefit from doubting the Lakers for the equation that you and I talk about, right? If you doubt the Lakers, well, you're going to get the attention of Lakers fans for your doubt, and you're also going to get the attention of Lakers haters because they want to agree with your reasons to doubt the Lakers. So not only did the Lakers not overcome, because it's not like that impacts the game whatsoever, but they also proved myself wrong. You weren't particularly high on this team heading into this year.
I think that I said they should be among the contenders, but no, I did not pick them outright at the beginning of the year. I picked the Clippers or the Bucks at the beginning of the year.
Pete wasn't calling this team like some overwhelming favorite to win.
Well, he wasn't an employee yet.
Nice. and so like the reason I say all this is because there she is. Hi, Mia.
I don't even know if she realizes we're still recording, but
so the reason I say all this is that like
we are.
The reason I say all this is because you never quite know until you know about a champion, right?
No, it's like Frank said, if you don't know, now you know. He said that tonight. He quoted Biggie in his post-game press conference. I have no idea if that was inadvertent or not, but I'm choosing to believe he had never heard the song before at all and just like came up with that off
holy
the top
crap
of his head.
He was like, holy crap, that is so deep.
Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah. But like, it's just enjoying the first championship of a run is so important, because after this becomes the expectation. But before this, you have no idea what the hell is going to happen.
Yeah, they don't get to be the We Believe Lakers next year.
No.
Unless everyone picks against them again, then they get to.
but like even then, if you do it, it's going to be kind of lame because you're repeating a joke, right?
No, I will absolutely go back to the We Believe Lakers.
You go back to it. You can go back to the well. You can go back to the We Believe well, but I'm just telling you right there, it's going to be a little lame. But this is the first year where the only emotion that you feel right now is holy shit. Holy crap.
Yeah.
They actually did this. From here on out, it's going to be some relief because deep down inside you, this is the expectation. And I'm just saying right now, if you're listening to it at your office, your cubicle, on your way to work, it doesn't matter. Just enjoy it. Because like, not only is it that winning a championship is not an every year thing, but winning the first championship in a potential dynasty does not come along very well, very often. And even if this isn't a dynasty, by the way, who cares? The Lakers tied up the Celtics and they have shitty ass, young ass Jason Tatum, who has the leadership of a dead salmon. Like the Lakers are better set up than just about any other team in the NBA. So here's hoping they win another one during this LeBron and AD era. But even if they don't, this championship is always going to mean something different because of everything that they went through. I talked about it earlier. The doubt at the beginning of the AD era, did the Lakers give up too much? Is Rob Pelinka actually suited for this role that he's about to embark on?
Does Rob Pelinka understand the cap?
Does Rob Pelinka actually understand the cap? Is Frank Vogel going to be okay despite the fact that they didn't hire Tyronn Lue? Holy shit. Tyronn Lue went to the Clippers. What does that even mean? And then to go through the heartbreak that this season produced because of Kobe's passing. And then you finally get your feet under you and here's COVID. And then you arrive back at the bubble and the Lakers don't look that great. And then they do look that great. And you're being told at every turn by the quote unquote experts, this is why you should doubt this team that looks that great. And then to arrive at this spot right now, like just enjoy this.
Yeah. I think the lesson from this season, from the season from 2020, regardless of whether or not this becomes a dynasty, regardless of what happens next, like enjoy this, take joy where you can find it because it is fleeting and we should always appreciate these moments that make us happy. And like, this was an awesome run. I'm glad that we got to do it together. And like we barely talked about the game tonight, but who cares? That game was awesome. And like, that's, you know, like the Lakers are the champions.
Yeah, that's all that matters. The Los Angeles Lakers are NBA champions. Enjoy the rest of this. Not the rest of this. This is over. But enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the rest of your off season. And at some point, we'll be here to talk about next season. But until then, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And enjoy your 2020 NBA champion, Los Angeles. Harrison, thanks for hopping on.